I think at a young age, you know, leadership is something that it's not, you don't get appointed a leader, you have to earn it.
This is the L3 Leadership Podcast, episode number 160. What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the L3 Leadership Podcast. My name is Doug Smith, and I'm the founder of L3 Leadership. We are a leadership development company devoted to helping you become the best leader that you can be. If you're new to this podcast, we're committed to bringing you 3 or 4 episodes every single month to help you in your leadership journey. One will always be a talk that a leader gives at one of our leadership events. One will be an interview that I do with a high-level leader. And then once a month, you'll get a personal leadership lesson by me. If you've been with us for a while, it would mean the world to me if you would subscribe and leave a rating and review on whatever service you listen to this through. It really does make a difference in helping us grow our audience. So thank you in advance for that. In this specific episode, I'm really excited. You're going to get to hear me interview Kevin Colbert, who's the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I love this interview. What I love about Kevin is he grew up in Pittsburgh. He was one of 5 brothers, and he actually lost both of his parents at a young age. And in spite of that, he's worked his way up and obviously has become the general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers. But over his career, he's worked for some world-class leaders and world-class coaches in the NFL. And he's also helped build and develop 2 Super Bowl championship teams. And this was just such a fun interview, and I learned so much from Kevin. He's humble, he's down to earth, and I believe he's a shining example to all of us of what can happen if you work hard and chase your dreams. But before we jump into the interview with Kevin, just a few announcements. I want to let you know that we recently introduced L3 Leadership Membership. That's right, you can now become a member of L3 Leadership. You might say, well, Doug, why do I need to become a member? First and foremost, I believe you need a group of leaders to go through life with who will encourage you, hold you accountable to your goals, and help you reach your potential. And at L3, we've developed a community of leaders that will help you do just that. You'll also have access to our community of leaders, the ability to join a mastermind group, which we believe is absolutely critical to your success in your leadership journey. And you also get resources, extra content, and a member-only forum on our member-only site. Membership's only $25 a month, and you can sign up at l3leadership.org/membership. It's also a great way to support what we're doing. If we add value to your life month in and month out, it would really mean the world to us if you would support us financially as well by becoming a member. I want to thank our sponsors, Henny Jewelers. They're a jeweler owned by my friend and mentor, John Henny. My wife and I both got our engagement and wedding rings through Henny Jewelers, and they're just an incredible company. Not only do they have great jewelry, but they also invest in couples like Laura and I. And John's been a friend and a mentor and investing in me as a husband and a dad now for years. So if you're in need of a good jeweler, check out HennyJewelers.com. I want to thank our other sponsor, Alex Tulandon Real Estate Resources. Alex is a full-time realtor with Keller Williams Realty, whose team is committed to providing clients with highly effective premier real estate experiences throughout the greater Pittsburgh area. As a member and supporter of L3, he'd love the opportunity to connect with you. You can find out more on how to connect with Alex at PittsburghPropertyShowcase.com. With that being said, enjoy my interview with Kevin Colbert, General Manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I will be back at the end with a few announcements.
All right. Well, hey, Kevin, thank you so much for doing this interview. And why don't you just give us a brief overview of who you are and what you do?
I'm the General Manager with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I'm responsible for basically finding and retaining players to try to help us win the Super Bowl championship.
That's a pretty awesome job. So you've been at it a while. I'm curious, what is maybe one of your favorite moments in your career with the Steelers?
Well, obviously, when you win Super Bowls, as I've been blessed to do on 2 opportunities, those obviously are your most enjoyable moments, and those are the moments that you strive to be able to accomplish again.
Yeah, did you enjoy one more than the other? Was the first one more special because it was the first time, or were they both kind of the same level?
Well, I would think the first was special because it was the first, but I think the second was just as special, if not more so, because you were able to do it again. You know, unfortunately, the third was when we lost to Green Bay. That was devastating because you had been to the mountain, and this time you didn't quite make it. And that one hangs with you just as much as the wins are enjoyable, the losses are just as devastating.
Yeah. I do want to talk a little bit about your leadership journey. So You're born and raised in Pittsburgh. I think you have a really interesting story. You were one of five brothers and lost both of your parents at a young age. You end up going to Robert Morris, coaching basketball there. And then ultimately now, fast forward, you've made your way up to the VP and general manager of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm just curious, what do you wish people knew about that journey and maybe some of the prices that you've had to pay to get to where you are today?
Really, you know, when you look back on it, it may look like it was difficult. But I had, you know, great family support around me from a personal standpoint and then a lot of professional support around me as well. So, you know, as a family, we were able to, you know, get through our losses and be able to move on with our professional lives. And in the professional, you know, lives, I've had a lot of opportunities to grow. And you know, there's been so many people along the way that gave you those opportunities and taught you how to make the most of them that, you know, were truly blessed along those lines as well.
Yeah, on that, I was going to ask this later. So you've got to work under and with some legendary leaders. It sounds like you started off your career under Don Shula. You've worked with Bo Cowher, Mike Tomlin, the Rooneys. I'm just curious, are there one or two leaders that have impacted you professionally that really stand out, and what did they teach you?
Well, again, aside from my family, who were always the most important influences, and I go back to my high school football coach, Ron Hughes, who not only taught me as a young player, but, you know, he also gave me an opportunity to come back to North Catholic when I was, you know, attending Community College of Allegheny County on the north side, and he gave me a chance to coach and to work with a football program. You know, from there, I did go on to Robert Morris, and a guy like Matt Frigianek, who was the basketball coach at that time, gave me an opportunity to work with the basketball team while I was concluding my education. And then, you know, moving on to Jack Butler, who through Ron Hughes, my high school coach, gave me an opportunity to get into scouting, over to Ohio Wesleyan, where my brother Bob Colbert helped me get a position as a running back coach and assistant baseball coach. Then on back to Blesto, and then on to Coach Shula, again, Hall of Fame coach, who, you know, allowed me to work with him as a young scout, and, you know, move on from Miami, move back to Detroit, where Ron Hughes again helps me get into a different position, an advanced position with the Lions, and of course work with Coach Fonts and Coach Bobby Ross, who taught me a lot. And then obviously moving on to Pittsburgh and being able to work with the Rooney family and Coach Cowher and Coach Tomlin, it's been a special journey with a lot of, like I said, a lot of help along the way.
Yeah, so I guess I just want to confirm, because a lot of kids that if they lost both their parents, I lost my mom when I was a teenager, and I know losing one parent is difficult enough, but losing both. So you basically, because of the people that surrounded you and supported you, that's what enabled you to get out of that circumstances and end up having the career you have? Would you give credit to those people?
Yeah, no question. I mean, my four older brothers were all mentors to me. And, you know, again, we had to help each other through those times. But we had aunts and uncles that were there for us as well. But, you know, the five of us collectively helped each other, because we all had to go through different challenges. Me as the youngest had, you know, the more different, I mean, I guess different ones, because they had to care for me at a younger age when I wasn't able to, you know, completely take care of myself. But again, we helped each other, and we had extended family that were there for us as well. And that helped us all have professional opportunities as well. And everybody, you know, all my brothers have done great.
That's great. I want to talk a little bit about your position, your role. My first question is, what do you wish you knew about leadership when you started out as a scout that you learned over time that you may not have known about leadership then?
Well, I think at a young age, you know, leadership is something that it's not, you don't get appointed a leader. You have to earn it. And That's something that I think I learned over time. You can't demand leadership. You can't create leadership. You just create opportunities for people in whatever field to become leaders. And then you sit back and watch them grow. And I think you learn that leadership is not something that's anointed. It's something that's earned.
That's so good. I was going to ask this later as well, but so what would your advice be to young leaders, you know, in their 20s, early 30s about earning leadership? What would you tell them as far as advice to earn it?
Well, I think you just have to, understand the opportunity exists. You have to be the example. You have to recognize the moment when people are leaning on you. You may not consider yourself a leader, but then you think back and you look back and you say, wait a minute, all these eyes are on me. It's my time to, it's my time to help these other folks. And I think that is something, again, there's no timetable for it. I don't think you are one day not a leader and the next day you are. I think those moments will dictate whether you are or you aren't. So I think you have to recognize those moments and try to become that leader if you feel the call to do so.
That's good. So you, in your position, you have to make a ton of tough calls and a ton of tough decisions that impact people's lives. What have you learned about that process? And then how do you deal with that personally? You know, do you detach yourself emotionally? Do you have to recharge after big decisions like that? I'm just curious.
Yeah, you can't detach yourself emotionally because you're a human being. So you do make decisions that affect people's lives, professional lives, and sometimes their personal lives. I mean, the hardest thing to do in our business is to cut a player and to tell them you don't have an opportunity for him. That doesn't mean necessarily that he's a failure. It just means that you don't have an opportunity for him at this time. So you find some consolation in knowing that, you know, hopefully you've given him enough background or experience that maybe he can go and find a better opportunity than he might have with your team. And, you find some consolation in that, but it's never easy to be able, to have to tell someone that you have to, you don't have a spot for them. But in the end, they may be better off and you may be better off, and you have to make decisions based on the good of the organization. And that's never, not always easy and not always pleasant, but it's part of the job.
Yeah. I want to talk about talent acquisition. So this is a huge part of your job, obviously. And I'm just curious, I did a lot of research on you and it seems like over and over again, you say it's easy to judge a player's skills, right? You can see how fast they run the 40 and all of those different things, but it's hard to assess their character. Can you talk about just how you assess players' character and who they are to see if they're a fit for the team and the best for your organization?
Yeah, sure. Just to clarify, I don't mean to say it's easy. I think it's easier to assess football talent than it is character because it's more tangible. So in trying to figure out players, I think, the main source that we have is our own intuition and experience. Both Coach Tomlin and I and Coach Cower before that and the Rooney family, we've all been in this and around this for a long time. We've seen a lot of different personality types and we know what can be successful. We know what can be a problem as well. So we try to, surround ourselves with people that we think can be successful and will help our organization be a success. And we have to understand that players come from all different backgrounds and venues, and the core of the evaluation is are they good people, even though they may not be perfect, and can they live this life in a manner that would like them to. I mean, can they be a functioning part of your community as well as your team? And we look for the ideal. We don't always find the ideal, but somewhere in those imperfections, there's a lot of good, and we try to unearth that good as best we can.
Yeah, have you ever sensed things that weren't ideal in a character of a player and chose them anyway? And I'm just curious, how did that work out?
We always try to quantify the risk and know what the risk may be, and we try to manage those. But in the end, we won't know until we get them and put them in our environment and see if they can thrive. And again, you have to quantify the risk, and you have to know the risk and then quantify it and then see if you are willing to take the chance. If you do, can you help manage it? And if you do, at what point do you make that decision that this player is either going to adhere or he won't?
Yeah, I mean, that was going to be my next question. Do you guys have, what is your system like? Obviously, you have an opportunity to develop young men. How long do you tend to invest in someone until you realize they're not going to take the journey with you? Or are there certain personality traits that you're like, yep, this is pretty much a huge indicator that they're not going to take that journey?
No, there's no set rules. I mean, I think it's a fluid evaluation, a fluid assessment. And I think in general that if you just think that there's no, there's no hope after you've given opportunities and you tried to help and you're still not, you're still not getting the message home, then you probably have to move on. And that's unfortunate, but again, that's reality.
Yeah. I want to talk about team culture. Obviously, you guys have an incredible culture in history with the Steelers. I'm just curious, what are one or two of the biggest lessons you've learned while being a part of the Pittsburgh Steelers and maybe even specifically from the Rooney family?
Well, I mean, the Rooney family is such a shining example for all of us. So the lessons that I've learned from not only, the late Mr. Dan Rooney, but his son Art II and Mr. Rooney's brother Art Jr., who held the equivalent of my position in the 70s. It's invaluable because they do things the right way. And you learn from that. You always talk about the Steeler way and what is that? And I don't think any of us can put a finger on it. You're not going to find it in any dictionary. It's just something that you learn and you feel and you learn to appreciate along the way, because the lessons they taught us are lessons that, not only helped us, but can help future generations. And that's the one thing both Arts are still here and we can continue to learn from them. But, Mr. Rooney is not with us any longer. But our obligation to him is not only to live the things he taught us, but to teach others that maybe didn't have the opportunity to meet him, or the younger generations that'll come along that won't have the opportunity to meet him and, have the same benefits that we've had. So that's our duty as we move forward.
Yeah. And then last question, I'll leave open-ended. Any advice you want to leave young leaders with? Maybe if you were to leave your kids with something, what would you tell them to set them up for success in life?
Well, you have to be willing to, work, but you have to be willing to work not only for your own company or team's success, but for the success of whatever industry you're in, for that industry as well. And you have to do it in a manner that's ethical, that's beneficial to all. And I don't know what else to add to that. You know what I mean? I mean, there's certain ways to go about things. And again, if you can do it in a manner that you can hold your head up high and say, okay, we won, or we accomplished, but we did it in a manner that I can be proud of, I think then you are a leader. And if you can show that example to the next generation, then we'll all be served better.
Just real quick on that, is that something you had to learn? It seemed like over and over again, the thing that people say most about you is that you're a team player. You don't care at all about personal recognition or personal credit. It's all about the team. Is that an attitude you've always had, or is that something that you've had to grow and develop?
I think it's something that I learn every day. Again, going back to, you know, my youth, that was something that was embedded in me at a young age, continued through high school, through my experiences, through college, my college experiences, and even into the professional ranks. Again, I've been blessed to be around a lot of special people, and hopefully I can take that. And, you know, so hopefully I have learned from that and will continue to learn, because we grow every day and we change every day. And as long as we're changing for the better, then the better off we'll all be.
That's so good. Well, hey, thank you so much for your time, Kevin. I really appreciate it.
All right, Doug, you take care now.
Hey everyone, thank you so much for listening to my interview with Kevin Colbert. You can find ways to connect with him and everything that we talked about in the show notes at l3leadership.org/episode160. Again, if this podcast added value to your life, it would mean the world to me if you would share it with your friends on social media, if you would subscribe to it on whatever service you listen to podcasts through, and leave a rating and review. All of those things help us grow our audience. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And I want to thank our other sponsor, Babb Inc. They're an insurance broker led by my friend named Russell Livingston, and he has a huge passion for developing next generation leaders, which is why he hosts our monthly leadership breakfast. And they're just doing some really unique creative stuff in the insurance world. So if your organization has any insurance needs, check them out at the web at www.babbins.com. That's BABBINS.com. And lastly, if you want to stay in touch with everything we're doing here at L3 Leadership, you can sign up for our email list on our website at l3leadership.org, and you will start to get emails immediately. And as always, I like to end with a quote. And given everything that's going on in our world today, I just love what Andy Stanley once said. He said, "Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone." Do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. Thanks for listening and being a part of L3 Leadership. Laura and I appreciate you so much, and we'll talk to you next episode.